Imagine climbing the massive earthen pyramids of Cahokia, Illinois, once a city rivaling medieval London in size and sophistication. For generations, we've been taught that Native Americans were primitive nomads who never built permanent settlements. This deliberate erasure served a political purpose. If indigenous peoples hadn't properly used the land, European colonization seemed justified. But what if everything we thought we knew about pre-colonial North America was fundamentally wrong? Native nations maintained sovereignty and shaped North American history for thousands of years before European arrival, and continued doing so long afterward. The sophisticated civilizations they built, the diplomatic mastery they wielded, and their remarkable resilience in the face of colonization reveals a history far more complex than most textbooks acknowledge. Their story isn't a sidebar to American history. It is American history. When 19th century archaeologist William McAdams discovered evidence that the massive earthen structures in the Mississippi Valley were human-made, many Americans refused to believe Native Americans had built them. This denial persisted despite clear evidence, with myths attributing these structures to lost European civilizations or even Atlanteans. During the medieval warm period, favorable climate conditions enabled large-scale agriculture throughout North America. The resulting cities rivaled their global contemporaries. Moundville compared to European cathedral towns like Oxford, Cahokia matched 13th century London, and Hougoum civilization cities rivaled Florence or Delhi. The Hougoum, ancestors of today's Odum people, engineered North America's largest agricultural system in the harsh Sonoran Desert, constructing over 1,000 miles of canals that supported diverse crops and fed over 100,000 people. Cahokia emerged as North America's greatest city around 1054 CE, coinciding with a spectacular supernova. Workers created a perfectly flat plaza 30 football fields in size and constructed massive platform pyramids using river-bottom clay. The largest pyramid rose 10 stories high with three terraces, containing over 21 million cubic feet of dirt moved entirely by hand in baskets. The city was meticulously aligned with celestial bodies, with its grid and central causeway positioned to match the lunar standstill. Around 1300, the Little Ice Age brought 6 centuries of colder, unstable weather, reversing conditions that had enabled large-scale agriculture. As prosperity declined, inequality grew visible through elite families' grand houses and separating walls. People abandoned these failing systems. Cahokia's population dropped from 20,000 to 3,000 in under 2 centuries. Odum stories tell of people overthrowing corrupt leaders and destroying their great houses, while Cherokee history recounts deposing the Ani-Kutani priesthood who had become haughty and overbearing. New systems emerged to prevent power concentration and promote shared prosperity. Native peoples ensured food security through diversification. Eastern women's mixed planting of beans, squash, and corn, though appearing messy to Europeans, proved more efficient, with Haudenosaunee farmers producing several times more grain than European counterparts. Reciprocity became fundamental, creating what Lumbee scholar Robert Williams describes as a complex web of connective relationships, an upside-down capitalism focused on providing rather than accumulating goods. When Europeans arrived in North America, they encountered sophisticated Native nations with established diplomatic protocols. Far from being overwhelmed, Native peoples often incorporated these newcomers into existing political systems. The Quapaws expertly maintained independence while extracting maximum benefit from their French alliance. Despite nearly 80 years of close contact, they effectively held the French to an imperial standstill, living securely in possession of their homeland while enriched by European trade goods. A painted bison hide from the 1730s reveals the Quapaw perspective, depicting the French as friendly neighbors to consult, not as imperial overlords. Similarly, the Mohawks controlled access to Dutch trade at Fort Orange, Albany, preventing even other Haudenosaunee nations from trading directly. Despite Dutch West India Company prohibitions, colonists regularly sold alcohol and weapons to Mohawks, who wielded enough economic power that Governor Peter Stuyvesant eventually authorized a moderate trade in munitions rather than risk losing Mohawk friendship. This reversed the intended colonial dynamic. Instead of Europeans dictating terms, native nations determined which rules would hold, setting prices that made it difficult for European traders to profit except through meeting native demands. By 1750, the balance began shifting as British colonists flooded westward. While the creation of the United States had unprecedented effects, most of North America remained under native control, with indigenous peoples still the majority population west of the Appalachians. Native nations responded through various strategies. Many formed new alliances, even with former enemies. The Muscogee, Creek, Confederation grew to 13,000 people by the mid-1700s. The Shawnee brothers, Tecumseh and Tenskwatawa, proposed an even more radical solution, urging all Indians to unite as one Native American race under centralized leadership. The Cherokee Nation emerged as a powerful example of indigenous adaptation. They created a republic with clear borders, a written constitution, and institutions paralleling other modern nations. In 1827, they adopted a constitution that began with a preamble echoing the U.S. Constitution, deliberately adopted on July 4th to signal their sovereign, modern nationhood. Perhaps their most significant innovation was Sequoia's development of a Cherokee syllabary in the early 1820s. The writing system spread like fire among the leaves throughout the nation, proving remarkably easy to learn. Within a decade, about half of Cherokee households had at least one literate member, exceeding the English literacy rate among neighboring whites. The U.S. government's expulsion of Native Americans from their ancestral homes marked a severe violation of sovereignty. Despite the Supreme Court ruling in Worcester versus Georgia protecting Cherokee territory, President Andrew Jackson defied the decision. The Cherokee removal of 1838 to 1839 became the most tragic example. Federal troops forced 20,000 Cherokees westward at gunpoint during a harsh winter with minimal provisions. 4,000 people, a quarter of the Cherokee population, died on what became known as the Trail of Tears. Yet, indigenous resistance persisted. The eastern band of Cherokee Indians found sanctuary in North Carolina's mountains, while many Seminoles chose the Everglades over removal. In the west, nations like the Kiowa maintained their territorial control. When Captain John Bell claimed the land for the powerful nation of Americans in 1820, a Kiowa leader firmly reminded him they were merely guests passing through Kiowa territory. Native America is experiencing a cultural and political renaissance, with young people actively learning ancestral languages and traditions through programs like Navajo immersion schools and Cherokee language apps. During COVID-19, tribal governments demonstrated exceptional leadership. The Navajo Nation implemented comprehensive testing and vaccination programs, while the Cherokee Nation developed an influential contact tracing system. Tribes are advancing community wellness through food sovereignty initiatives. The Eastern Shawnee built greenhouses to promote traditional diets, while the Quapaw Nation maintains an indigenous seed bank preserving heritage crops. Despite historical attempts at cultural erasure, Native Americans have rebuilt their nations while preserving their identities. As Comanche scholar Paul Chott Smith notes, "Our survival against desperate odds is worthy of a celebration." This renaissance exemplifies not merely survival, but the thriving continuation of America's first peoples and their sovereign traditions.